Amen. All right. All the fathers in the room, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I love. They didn't even wait for you to applaud for them. They just started applauding for themselves. Yeah. Dads, we just want to say thank you for everything you do. In our society, dads kind of get overlooked sometimes. Moms do too. Because of lots of different reasons, but today we just want to say thank you. So one more time, we want to say thank you. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I heard a story. I mean, we can't go by Father's Day without talking about Bubba. I heard that Bubba took his little boy fishing one day. Little Bubba, Big Bubba took little Bubba fishing, and they were out on the boat and. And they were just waiting for a fish to bite. And little Bubba said, Daddy, how does this boat float? And Bubba thought for a minute and he said, I don't rightly know, son. Got real quiet. Little Bubba started thinking again and he said, Daddy, how do fish breathe underwater? Bubba thought about it for a minute and he said, I don't rightly know, son. So got quiet and finally, little Bubba piped up and said, why is the sky blue? Bubba said, well, I don't rightly know, son. Little Bubba's starting to feel like maybe he was irritating his dad, and so he just stopped and he said, Daddy, do you mind if I ask you all these questions? And Big Bubba spoke up and said, of course not, boy. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything. So as a dad, I'm just going to be real upfront with you. Before I was a dad, I had all the answers. I became a dad. I didn't realize that before that, I didn't even know what the questions were going to be. I realized real quick, standing there looking down in the nursery at the hospital at our firstborn, thinking, I cannot believe they're going to let us take him home. They don't know us. We don't know what we're doing. And listen, every day is an adventure. And dads kind of get this reputation for being known for bad jokes and just being uncool, you know. But here's the deal. We used to be cool before you were born. You killed our coolness, all right? We are not unknowingly uncool. We know today that we are no longer cool, but here's what we love. We love embarrassing you. And so we will do anything to embarrass you. And our clothes are out of date, and we're at a point in our life where we just don't care. It doesn't bother us in the least. We like it when you are embarrassed to be seen with us in our old clothes. We used to have money in our wallets, too. Now we just got pictures of you, all right? So it's all your fault. Whatever you see right here, it's your fault if you're one of the children. So I want to share some. I want to share some dad jokes with you this morning, all right? I don't know how dads got the reputation for telling bad jokes, but I'm just going to need you to cooperate, all right? I'm going to need you to laugh uncontrollably as if this is the first time you've heard these and they're hilarious. So here we go. How do you catch a squirrel? You climb a tree and act like a nut. All right. One dad said, I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something. What do you call someone with no body and no nose? Nobody knows. I told you. There you go. Now you're getting it. All right. Here we go. Why can't a nose be 12 inches long? Because then it would be a foot. Right. What time did the man go to the dentist? 2:30. 2:30. All right. Okay. Why did the math book look so sad? Because it was full of problems. Right. This could be one of my favorite ones right here. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. There you go. There you go. What happens when a strawberry gets run over crossing the street? traffic jam. All right. When two vegetarians get into an argument, is it still called a beef? Do you want a box over your for your leftovers? No, I'll just wrestle you for them, though. All right. I could tell a joke about pizza, but it's a little cheesy. See, you went from laughing. You forgot the rules of this game. All right. If you see a crime happen in an Apple store, what does it make you? An eyewitness. All right. Here's my favorite one of all, and then we're going to get a little bit serious. All right. I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know. Yep. All right. Woo. Thank you. All right. You're so fake. You just played right along. Yes. All right. I was putting that list together thinking, these are horrible. All right. All right, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Today we're going to, this is our third week in our series called Questions. And we're just going to ask the question, how should I pray? What does prayer look like? Now, this is going to be simple. We're going to look at four words from the Lord's Prayer. The Bible says this, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Jesus is talking to his disciples. So if he was talking to his disciples then, he's talking to his disciples now. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's talking to you. He's saying, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And God's blessing on his word right here. I believe God's going to bless us this morning through his word. Not through me, through his word. So he starts off, second word of his prayer is the word Father. Our Father in heaven. Now this is important because until this point in history, not very many people had called God Father. It was something brand spanking new. When Jesus said to his disciples, this is the way I want you to pray, our Father who's in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. Now watch, if I'm going to pray, I need to leverage my relationship with God. I need to start out recognizing who it is that I am talking to. Now, this might be the most important word in this whole passage, the word Father. When we recognize who we're talking to and we understand how much he loves us, it changes the way we interact with God. When we realize that God is our loving Heavenly Father, we approach him differently. Now, I understand that there might be people in the room or watching online this morning that you had an absentee father or a father who just wasn't very kind or very attentive, okay? And Satan would love to take that past experience and project it onto your relationship with God right now. He would love for you to miss out on what it is to have a good father. Now, when I approach God, I get to approach him as if he loves me because he does love me. Now, I talked to my dad this morning. I called him on the way to church, and I wanted to wish him a happy Father's Day, and he's the best man I've ever met in my life. That's just true. Greatest character, most godly man I ever met. He put the bar up here. I don't think I'm there yet. I'm working on it, all right? He's that kind of guy. But I never call my earthly father and say, Father, dost thou have time to converse? I say, hey, Daddy, you got a minute? I'm old school. I was raised in the Deep South. It's still Daddy in my book, all right? Okay. So I just say, Daddy, you got a minute to talk? Yeah. What do you want to talk about? And so there's no pomp and circumstance. There's no formality. It's just us talking. I get to talk to him, first of all, knowing that he loves me. That's the bottom line. As a matter of fact, when I go to his house to visit, I don't say, hey, do you mind if I get a glass of sweet tea out of the refrigerator? because he didn't know anything about this unsweet tea thing. All right. I don't go over and say, can I get some tea or can I make a sandwich? I just go over and get a glass of tea and make a sandwich because I know that he loves me. I approach him not as my majestic father. I approach him as my daddy. And that's the word Jesus is using here, the word Abba. He is saying, approach him as your daddy. Approach him as if he loves you because he does love you. But if you've got some baggage back there that has tainted the way you look at fathers, it's hard to overcome. So I want to read another scripture. Matthew 7:11. It says, if you then, though you are evil, he's talking to earthly people, right? He's talking to you and me. He's talking to earthly fathers. He said, if you then are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's like, earthly people, earthly fathers are not going to always get it right. They're not going to always be perfect. And how much more does your heavenly Father love you than anybody here on earth? As much as we could love our children, as much as we could love them, we can't even fathom how much God loves us. I already talked about it, but when I stood at in the nursery at the hospital almost 20 years ago and looked down, I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. Now, I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't understand all the ups and downs and the difficulties and the decisions that were going to come, but every time it was worth it. And that love, and I'm getting to have lunch with my kids today, and we're just going to hang out and just have a good time. Now watch. I don't want them to approach me with formality. I want them to approach me knowing that I love them. That you don't have to be scared to talk to me about something. That you don't have to be afraid of my answer. Now, I might not always give you what you want. As a matter of fact, I probably won't give you everything you want. I remember one time when the boys were real young, and I forget which one of them it was, that said, Dad, can we buy whatever it was, you know, something at Walmart or wherever we were? And I said, no, we're not going to get that today. I think it was a toy. We're not going to get that today. And he kind of felt sorry for me. And he said, we don't have the money, Dad. I said, oh, no, we got the money. We just ain't buying it, all right? Has nothing to do with having the money or not having the money. What you are needing to get from this situation is you're not going to get everything you want. But when the things that matter come on, I want you to be able to talk to me. I want us to be able to work through this stuff together. So here's the second word I want us to get. First was Father. Second one is Kingdom. When we embrace God's agenda, when we embrace the way God does things, Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the power of prayer, if you don't get anything else this morning, get this one. The power of prayer is not found in asking for what you want. The power of prayer is not in just asking for what you want God to do for you. The power of prayer is found in understanding what God wants for you. When we start to learn to ask God, what do you want for me and from me? It changes the way I pray. See, it's not just a rich kid and his Christmas wish list. You know, on Amazon, you can start your own wish list. And you can just spread it around your family just in case a special occasion is coming, you know. Oh, I accidentally sent that to you. Sorry about that. Just so you know, we understand what a wish list is. You know, you can, oh, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. But prayer is not just a celestial wish list. It's not just telling God, this is what I want. Because here's what happens. God will always give us one of three answers. He will say, yes, we love that one. Yes. He will sometimes say, no. And he'll sometimes say, wait. Now, we hate no, and we especially hate wait. All right? But God is developing us. Because we have prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We said, God, I want your will for my life. So it's going to change the way I pray. Now remember, he's our Father. He wants what is best for us. So Matthew 7:9 says this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. Now remember, he's talking to earthly parents again. He says, if your son asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a rock. If he needs something to eat, he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. So what he's saying is we have to trust God for what is best for us. But sometimes we want it our way. Now, some things the Bible tells us that God will do every single time. It's always going to be a yes. The Bible tells us if you lack wisdom, ask God for it and he'll give it to you. Every single time. That's always a yes. If you need wisdom, what is wisdom? We talked about this a million times. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the facts. The facts are, I don't have any money and the car payment's coming. That's the facts. Wisdom is, what am I going to do about it? And God can help us and show us and give us direction. The Bible says he will always answer a prayer for wisdom. Another one is this. He will always answer the prayer when we ask him for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, the Holy Spirit will guide your life. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will open doors for you that you cannot open for yourself. When we pray, God, send the Holy Spirit to work in my life and on my behalf. That is always a yes answer. Here's another one that God will always say yes to. God will always say yes when you pray to escape temptation. When bad things and temptations are coming your way and you're struggling, he has promised to always say yes to the prayer to defeat that. Now watch this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. I love that. In other words, we all been tempted. It's the same list of stuff. You're just being tempted with a different part of the list than I'm being tempted with today. We're all being tempted by Satan in some way. So those temptations are normal to everybody. Watch this, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. That's always a yes answer. Now, if I start praying things that are against, I've already prayed, right? God, not my will, but yours be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've prayed that. Then I start praying for other things in my life. I've already said, God, I want to align my plan with your plan, my will with your will. I want to go where you are going. I'm not going to ask you to go where I'm going. If I start asking God to go where I'm going, the Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you, but he's just there to try to help you. He's not there to bless you. If we're taking a different road, okay? So when we say, God, I want you to have your way, it leads us to the third word, give. Give. Ask for what you need. The Bible tells us to ask for what we need. Give us today our daily bread. God is ready to say yes in meeting our needs. Jesus is telling us that we align ourselves with God's purpose, then he will give us everything we need to accomplish everything God wants us to do. He will give us everything we need to accomplish everything he wants us to do. Now here, we're going to practice this for a second. So make a wish list in your mind for God real quick. Just a wish list. All right, you can do this one later. God, I want you to help me with the house payment. God, I want you to help me with my, God, I want my children to be saved. God, I want you to bless us as a family. Let us grow closer together. God, I would like a brand new Porsche. God, I would a big boat would be really nice, Lord. All right, I can make my wish list. This is what I want from God. I want the important stuff. But then as I get on down, my list maybe changes a little and I start adding things on. I forget that God is not Amazon and I just start adding stuff on. Now watch this. Go through your list and cross off everything that is selfish. Oh man, I got to cross the Porsche off. All right, I got to cross the boat off. Now God might want you to have a boat, but here's the thing. Is the prayer you're praying, if God answers the prayer you're praying, is it going to make you a more effective representative of Jesus? That's how we know if our prayers are selfish. If I just pray a prayer for me, I might not be praying according to his will. But if I say, God, whatever it is, I want it. I want it to make me a better representative of you. I want to honor you. I want my life to align with your will. Now, God's going to always meet our needs. The Bible tells us that we've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. God always feeds the righteous. God always meets the needs of the righteous. Now, he won't always give you what you need. And you don't have to look at God and say, we don't have any money today. No, no, no. God's like, no, that's just, if I give you this, it's going to get you off track. I talked to a gentleman a long time ago. He went fishing with me. I had a fishing boat. Now, don't think it was, don't get an idea of how big it was. It was like, it left me on the lake stranded many times. We learned how to go, hey, can we get a tow? You know, so anyway. But this gentleman just said, I want to go fishing with you. And I was happy. He was close. He was part of our church here. And I was happy for him to go. And we went fishing. And he told me while we were on that fishing trip, this is the first time I've been on a boat since I quit drinking. I said, really? Why? How does that go together? And he said, because every time I went fishing on my boat, it meant I had to drink a case of beer from the cooler. And I couldn't connect the two. Now watch. God could still give him a boat. He sold his boat and quit fishing for a while. Because he's like, this is not going to honor Christ. This is not going to bless my family. And so I'm going to get rid of this. Now, God can give you something. God can let you have something that leads you in the wrong direction. But he wants to give us things that lead us toward him. So when we're making our wish list, let's mark off the stuff. And let's just pray, God, your will on that one. I'd love the new boat or I'd love the whatever, but I want to make sure it's going to put me in the middle of your plan. He wants to give us what we need, but let's make sure we align ourselves with the Father's will. Now, here's the fourth word, forgive. We got to remove the barriers. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, to forgive. Forgive and forget are two different things. We know this. If you do me wrong, I'm not going to forget about it, but I can forgive it. If I do you wrong, you can forgive me, but you're not going to forget about it, okay? So am I willing to let go of my right to retribution so that I can remove the barriers in my life and talk to my Father? Do you rehash the details of that hurt? Do you find yourself just rehashing those details over and over and over again? Then you're probably not moving toward forgiveness. Do you use your hurt as an excuse for your own failures today? Well, they did me wrong. That's why I'm not much today. They messed me up. That's why I'm failing today. If I'm living on the excuses of when I was hurt in the past, I'm probably not forgiving the people that hurt me. Now, listen, we don't forgive people for their benefit. You forgive someone for your own benefit. To release it, to remove the barriers and let God work. Do you look forward to the day when those people get what's coming to them? And if I'm doing that, I might not be moving toward forgiveness. Sometimes our prayers don't work because we haven't forgiven somebody who has hurt us. This is important right here. Anger and resentment and bitterness and all create barriers between us and God. He needs us, wants us to forgive. Mark 11:25 says this, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. We just pray, God, I want to be in your will, so I can't be holding on to bitterness and anger and resentment, because then I can't be forgiven. And if I can't be forgiven, I can't find myself in the middle of God's will. Forgiving others frees us up so we can move on. A wise man once told me, don't let anybody live rent-free in your head. Move them out. Forgive them and move on down the road. Forgive them and move on down the road. Other people are going to look at you and say, you're naive, you're being silly, you need to hold a grudge. Listen, do I care what other people think of me or what God thinks of me? Amen. Nobody else, amen, nobody else can answer my prayer except him. So I want to remove any barrier between me and him so that I can receive all that he has for me. Is there someone in your life that you're at odds with right now that you need to deal with, that you need to handle, that you need to go to? Now, here's where we're going to end this morning. I just want you, in just a minute, I just want you to speak. If you're bitter towards someone, it might be the boss, it might be the ex-husband, the ex-wife, it might be a cousin, it might be a friend down the street. I don't know who it is. It might be your kids, whoever. When we pray in just a minute, I want you to speak that person's name before God and ask for the strength to forgive. And just say, Lord, I want you to have your way in my life. Father, I know you love me. I know you care about me. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. I need you to give me what I need today, but I know that all that hinges on me letting go and releasing what would hold me back. Can I just be real upfront with us dads for a minute? Dad, we sometimes have a problem walking away from offense because it feels like an attack on our manhood. It feels like we've been, like if we don't stand up and fight back, that we are not as much a man as the world would tell us we should be. And I would say, and I believe Scripture bears it out, the greater man says, I'm going to let go of offenses. I'm not going to live angry and bitter. I'm not going to create anger and bitterness in other people. I'm going to be a man that loves and forgives, and loves and forgives, and loves and forgives, and loves and forgives, and not holding on to stuff that would create a barrier between me and God or me and anybody else. I want to release it. I want to release it. Who's the person or people in your life that it's time today to release? It's time to release them. It's time to let go of the anger and the bitterness, the hurt, and just say, Lord, I want you to help me be an example of Jesus right here and right now. Jesus hung on the cross. They had beaten him and nailed him to a cross. You know what they did. Crown of thorns, the whole thing. Lied about him. And when he's hanging on the cross, what do you say? Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Jesus had to say this. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Now, there is no guarantee that if you forgive, that person is going to do right by you. There is no guarantee that that relationship will ever look like it once did. No guarantee. But there is this one guarantee. The barriers between us and our Heavenly Father are torn down. And we can say, God, not my plan. Not my plan for my life, but your plan for my life. Let that be done. And we can never go wrong aligning ourselves with God's plan and God's will. He wants to do things in our life. He wants to lift up the name of Jesus in our lives. And when that happens, there is joy and there is peace and there is contentment. There's life when we trust Him with our lives. He just wants to give you life. He just wants to give you life. If you don't know how to forgive, find somebody else in your life that's been hurt. Somebody who's walking with Christ. Find that person and say, how did you do it? And here's what you're going to find out. It was kind of herky-jerky. All right, God, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going down this path. I'm going to forgive them. I'm good. And then I encounter them again, and I just wanted to punch them in the mouth. And then, Lord, I'm on this journey. I'm going to forgive. And then somebody brings them up to me again and reminds me how bad they treated me, and I just want to strangle them again. And then I just back up, and God, I want to go down this journey of forgiveness. It's not a one-step, easy path kind of thing. Why? Because Satan does not want those barriers between us and our Heavenly Father removed. He loves it when there are walls between us and our Father. Satan loves putting walls between fathers and children. Satan is a divider. He never unites. And anything that unites, he fights with every tool he has. So he's not just going to let you walk out of here today and feel good about letting go of an offense. He's not going to pat you on the back. He's going to tell you you're a sucker. Can't believe you'd let him do you like that. And God is saying, I got you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I got your back. That's what he's saying to us this morning. So I want you to stand with me if you would. Our Father loves us this morning. When I became a father, I thought I was going to be a perfect father. It didn't work. It didn't work. I've had to apologize to my children more than once. Kind of lost my temper there. I wish I hadn't done that. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. Wish I had treated that situation a little bit differently. I didn't know. I thought I was going to be perfect, but I wasn't. That's why I need a father who is. Show me the next step and the next step and the next step, and I can pray, not my will, but yours be done. And get a little better every day and grow a little more every day and trust God in a different way every day and just let go of it. So here's what we're going to do today. Two things. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, whether you're in the house or online this morning, if you don't know Jesus this morning, here it is. You got to admit that you've sinned. The Bible tells us we got to admit it. Own up to our sins and our failures. We got to put our faith. We got to believe in Jesus, and then we got to say it out loud. We got to say it to him. We got to confess him as Lord of our life. And I'm going to leave that up to you to pray that prayer the way you want to pray. You can say it in your own words. All right? He's your Father. You can say it any way you need to say it. Admit that you've sinned. Believe on Jesus. Confess him with your mouth. Or maybe you've already done that, but you're still kind of holding on to things that you know are barriers between you and other people. I want you, as we pray in just a minute, you don't have to say it out loud. Don't scream it, because they might be across the room. I want you to say their name. I want you to release their name to the Lord this morning. Just say it to him. You can whisper it. He's listening. Just own it. And go, God, I just want to take that wall down. That's not the way I want to live my life. I want to let it go. I just want to give them to you, Lord. I'm going to pray good stuff on them. Bible says when you pray for somebody, it's like putting coal of some fire on their head. You want to get them back, pray for them. Just pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much today. God, you've just been so good to us, and we love you. And we know we're unworthy of even calling out the name of our Heavenly Father. We know that. Somehow, and for some reason, you love us. You have big plans for us. Lord, for those in the room that don't have a relationship with you, I pray that they would start brand new today a relationship with you. Those people that are watching online, God, don't have a relationship with you, we pray that today they would start, they would surrender, let you change their present and their future and redeem their past. Lord, for every person who's choosing today to let go of their right to be angry at someone who has hurt them in the past, for every person who is choosing that, God, I pray for strength right now. We just release them to you. We just give them to you, Lord. They belong. They're not ours. They're your responsibility. And we release them, and we want to move forward. We want to move forward. We want to tear down barriers, get rid of walls, and we want to follow you and your will and your plan for our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us in the middle of all of this. We thank you for loving us too much to leave us like we are. God, we give you praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. 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 Listen, I want to say this to everybody and then we're going to go. God has a plan designed for our lives. It's our decisions that get us off track. We get down there on that list of things we want, and we start chasing after that stuff instead of saying, God, what do you have for me? Here's what the Bible says. This is the last thing we're going to say. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added to you. Amen. I seek him and his plan, and he'll give me more than I deserve. But the goal is to put him first. God bless us as we go. Thank you for being a good father. And we give you the credit and the glory for all good things in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.